expressing that it's an ecosystem. We're
Yeah.
all a part of one another's ecosystem. And as you said, right, you want to help, you want to contribute, but you don't want to harm yourself. And that's
Or
a
you.
crucial, or me. And
Yeah.
that's what I was going to say. That's a crucial understanding you need to have with yourself, because all the you could be intentional as hell as to what you want to do, but if you're not mentally in the space, if you're not physically, if your home's not taken care of, if your children are not well, it's impossible for you to show up. And I think as Black women, we still have figured out how to do so, and we just continue to take the lashes. We
Yeah.
continue to eat the pain, and we continue to just like suppress, suppress, suppress. But when that spiritual baby, as we were talking about, when it's time, it's time.
It's time. And you can't care about anybody else's opinions, their thoughts, their
Unfortunately.
feelings. And when I say you can't care about their feelings, it's not like, oh, what I'm doing is hurting your feelings, right? Because intention is always going to be what it is. Intention is never, intention is always going to be what it is. But it's like, no, I can't care more about your feelings than the mission that God has for me to fulfill and bring to this earth.
And that's
Because
very
I still
hard.
have to answer for that. I still have to answer for why I went to the grave pregnant. Cause Bible also says I
Ain't
will
care, is
pick
it?
somebody else, right? I will pick somebody else.
And I was saying it's difficult sometimes for me to say, forget about XYZ, XYZ.
Yeah.
For example, I knew that I was on my last days with my last employ with my previous employer. I knew. However, I had a couple things in the works, including what I had reached out to you about.
Yeah.
So I'm like almost scrambling to figure out how can I still make these pieces come together and work, even if I'm not in the picture, because I consider my sister's well-being and their success and what they have going on to be my own to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
Like your success is my success. Me seeing you win, me being in your proximity as you're winning, that just does something for everyone around you, whether that's financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever. Sisterhood is important. So it was hard for me to even. That was the most disappointing part of me leaving. Me not being able to seal the deal for you before I left. Because I knew, based on what that organization was looking to do and what you do, it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
It would have been perfect. God had other plans, right? We gonna still figure it out. We gonna still make it do what it do. But I wasn't thinking about myself. Like, well, what am I gonna do for money?
Yeah.
I was thinking about, wow, I had some really great things in the works, and now they're probably gonna fall apart because there's no one in there that looks like me or looks like you that's gonna be pulling us into those spaces. But here we are, creating our own spaces,
Right.
and I'm happy that I'm here with you in your space today.
Yeah.
So tell me what you need, sis.
Whew, yes, y'all.
Where we
Welcome,
heading to?
Welcome to the Soul Work Podcast, the Soul Work with Love Podcast. Me and my girl, my good sis Brandy, we had to hit record. We should have hit record the minute we got on the Zoom, cause baby. Everything that I talk about when it comes to advocacy and soul work and what it looks like to feel that kick in your belly that you can't let go of, that deep calling in your soul and manifesting that, putting that work out. When I meet people that are in tune with that, like myself, they are lifetime people. They are lifetime family in the spiritual realm, on this realm. And my girl Brandy, we're gonna have to talk about how we met too. So that's just part of the process. She sent me her bio, and it's like I don't even want to read it because it doesn't capture what I know about you, right? What has drawn me to keep saying yes to you? What has drawn me to, like, literally, and I used to say whatever you like to people, whatever it is you need, I got you, out of like people pleasing place, and doing a lot of that healing work. Now it's like, no, she's still on that list. Whether it's in line with my vision or not, yoga is always going to be in my vision, so that's never going to be a, but it's like you, Brandy is, let me tell y'all, Brandy is a community person. When y'all hear me talk about community, when you hear me talk about grassroots organizations, when you hear me talk about selflessness, when you hear me talk about purpose, when you hear me talk about turning your pain into purpose, Brandy is that person. Brandy is the founder of an organization called Still Here, which works with young kids. And I'm not even reading your bio, girl. I'm like, I'm coming off the dome. I know. She's like, girl, I could tell. Right? She's the founder of an organization called Still Here, that the organization is all about, how do we get these kids away from gun violence? How do we keep them off the street? How do we put something constructive in their lives? And how do we give them a safe and sacred space to identify with themselves, heal themselves, find themselves, find love with themselves, find people that look like them, building community for them that is outside of what they might know already in their actual living spaces. So, no, I did not read her bio, and I don't care. Please, soul family, give it up for my girl, my sister, Miss Brandy Robinson. Clap snaps and all the things.
Love you, my sister. Thank you. It's so funny. I hate bios. She
She was like, you made me do all of this.
was like, "You're a bio." And be just for what you said, like, it's so hard to capture what I do, you know? And more so, it's harder to capture what's being done through me. I have a hard time even articulating and verbalizing what it is that's happening. You know, I literally surrendered 10 years ago. March 29th makes 10 years since Still Here has been doing this work, and in different capacities, but March 29th, 2015, we did our first event, our first solo event, and we're getting ready to celebrate our 10th one. This year as well. So that it's crazy. I would say all that to say there's no way I could verbalize it. However, the mission of creating those safe spaces so that everyone, not just our young people, but our facilitators, you know, when we came into each other's lives, I think we were both going through some
Girl.
stuff and needed that space, right? Not to worry about the ailments of the world and to literally just do what we loved, right? And I think that was where we connected in 2022. I don't think either of us was in this, like, in our prime, you know, in that having the understanding we have today of why we were in that space. We were just looking for ways where we could be utilized, right? I think we were looking for ways that we could be utilized because we seen all of this pain around us, and we were like, we could do something. Now, all the pain we was carrying at the time, we were still like, we could do something. And we did. We did. And we're still here. So imagine, I always say this to people, imagine those people that don't have a safe space. Imagine those people who don't have a little outlet, you know, someone where they could just let their hair down around them. My heart goes out to those people, and I hope they come across the village. And if they don't find that safe space in one of my sessions, hopefully they find it in one of your sessions, or in Keyson's financial literacy sessions, or in something, right? Find someone or something that you can connect to and know that you're here for a purpose. Like you were created for something greater than just to say I'm here. So I love that about our story, how I believe we both were going through it, because I know I
Girl, I just listen.
was.
I was on the floor. I ain't even gonna hold you. I was on the floor. I was on the floor. I was like, yeah, no. But there's something. So two things, right? Secret to writing bios. I never wrote mine. What I did was I had my best friend at the time, when I started getting into a space where it's like, oh, I need to have a bio. I had the closest person to me that knew me, not family, like a friend, best friend, write my bio for me. And I just would edit and add to it going forward.
I did have someone else do the bio, because I was like, I was working on a grant since we spoke. I was working on a grant. I was like, I know I have to get this bio to Ashley. And God sent me this amazing woman. Her name is Michelle, and she's been helping out with Still Here for the last like month or two. And I was like, hey, Michelle, you think you can take what I have online and add a little bit to it based on what we've been discussing, and you know, get this over, because I really want to. I'm sorry that I didn't get it to you sooner. I know that was like, you asked me longer, a little while ago. So I didn't, but it would be a good idea to have someone that knows me personally to write my bio. I think that'll be easier. It's very hard for me to talk about myself in certain spaces and ways. And one of my insecurities, I guess you can say, in this space, is that I don't have a master's degree in psychology and all the accolades that a lot of the people in this career path that they have. So it's like I'm writing my bio and I'm like, I've attended the University of Hard Knocks Life. I've been raising children for 20 something years. And it's like I don't know. I always kind of get caught up there. So that is a good idea. I'm gonna ask my best friend to weigh in on my bio for sure. For sure.
And even so, like thinking back to when we met, 'cause somebody on Facebook was looking for, like, said that, like, you had put something out looking for a yoga teacher. And a girl I used to work with at CMO sent me, like, two people actually, I think, sent me the post and was like, hey, someone's looking for a yoga teacher. You should reach out. And I was like, cool. So I just sent it. And I think you even said, like, a couple people had recommended me also. So it was like that time and space of where life was, at least for me. The most healing thing for me is to do the work that I know not only heals me, but helps heal others, right? And last week's episode, I did an episode on like understanding if you're in when you're doing advocacy work, right? Are we doing it from a place of like the savior complex, or are we doing it from a place of like healing, right? And so, like for me, I'm an actions person, right? I can't like I sit with myself, and I'm not afraid to sit with myself. And there's something about sitting with yourself and wanting to take that same knowledge and wisdom and turn it into something that can not be a quick fix for somebody else, but help them a little bit quicker, right? Help them expedite whatever it is that they need to expedite. So to be able to come out of my darkness and step back into my light, right? That like that period of time and us collaborating in that space at that moment, it was needed. It was a reminder for me that duality exists, right? That you don't have to stay in the darkness for a long period of time. You don't have to sit in that for a long time. You can go
You
ahead
can.
and you can, right, because it's a choice. Everything is a choice, right? You can go back to your light. So, yeah. So
Absolutely.
like when
I
you
love that aspect of advocacy. I love that you pointed that aspect of advocacy out because that Mother Teresa will kill you. Right? You trying to be, I got you, I got you, I got you, I got you. You will be run down into the ground, hair falling out, skin all dry. And that's something I really battled with up until more recently. And it took me to have me fighting the people that I'm fighting to help. It took them fighting me to say, wait a minute,
Right.
right? I'm fighting for us. All of us, right, to be able to send our children to the store with a hood on and come back home. You know, I'm
Yeah.
fighting for us to be in our home and call for police and we don't get shot in our face. I'm fighting in my own way for us to just feel safe, to just be, just breathe, right? And in doing so, the barriers that I have come across look like me more often than not. So I'm screaming, I'm advocating, I'm kicking, I'm losing sleep, I'm pulling resources from my sister business and my brother business, and I'm pulling these all together so we can have these safe spaces. And those same people are the people that are like biting my back as soon as I turn around, you know? And I had to figure out a balance, right? And I still do what I was called to do, no matter what. No matter what that looks like, no matter how hard that gets, no matter what that gatekeeper looks like, I'm gonna do what it is that I was sent to do. I just gotta take care of me a little bit differently so that as I'm advocating for us, if you just so happen to be the barrier, I'm not personalizing that. I'm okay, right? I'm able to look and say, you know what? This is what trauma looks like. They can't see it right now, and I don't need to understand where they are right now. I know that my heart is pure. I don't have to tap dance for you or your organization for your funding or for anything else you have to offer because I know everything that I need is just waiting for me to step into position. That's it. If this is really uncomfortable to the point where it's like, oh, I can't breathe here, maybe I need to step forward, backwards, right, left, you know? So that was an important part of the advocacy part because no matter what our organization earns financially, the advocacy work doesn't stop. It doesn't matter if we make a dime or we don't make a dime. It's really about being able to be a safe space. Because I'm being, right? I'm being who I was called to be. And I'm being good to myself first. So if I could go back to the beginning of my advocacy work, I would tell myself, be good to yourself, be extra good to yourself, add some tact to that, and then step out there for others. Because the people you're stepping out there for may be the people that are, you know, standing in the way of where you're looking to go, and you can't personalize that. And it's hard not to personalize that when you're not well, when you're hungry, when you know you had a headache this morning because you've been fighting to get this database up and running so that you can submit documentation to be able to do XYZ. And as soon as you get to where you're going, it's someone that looks like you that you're fighting for that's giving you hell.
I always feel like, woo, girl. I always feel like when it comes to advocacy work, because let's keep it a buck. Black and brown women are the leaders in the helping fields, are the leaders in advocacy work, are the ones that are going to bat for these causes, right? And I always feel like when it comes to us being able to share space, it is hard.
Oh my God.
It
Oh
is hard. I
my
mean, go ahead.
You.
There's so much, and I attribute it to there's the what I'm sensing, what's coming to me is there's this thing of not enoughness. Right? There's this thing of not enoughness. There's this thing of the superwoman syndrome, right? We don't have to save everybody. Every cause does not have to be our cause, right? So I think, and like we were speaking before, it is imperative for us to be so clear about the vision and our mission and what we're advocating for, why we're advocating for it, right? Because I can advocate. I can partner with you and advocate for gun violence and youth, protection and all of that and more safety patrol and all of those things. And it's not a part of my vision. It's not a part of my mission. I'm connected to it because I'm the mother of a black boy, right? I'm connected to it because I'm a black woman. You're connected to it in a very different way. Right, you have a firsthand experience as to why this is important, right? When I started a lot of my advocacy work, especially in Trenton, it was because, I mean, and you might have been living in Trenton or living in Mercer County, or living in Jersey around this time, and my son was just born in 2020 and 2013. Brandy, when I tell you every week, we were hearing about a young child being murdered. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. So I was meeting with a youth pastor at Shiloh, and she said to me, she was like, "Ashley, we have to do something." I said, "Well, let's get the kids together." We got all the kids together, and it was like, "We need to do something." And from there birthed what we had called My Life Movement, and it turned into something else. And then it got to a point where I was starting to learn, oh, there's work for me to do, but it's not this work, right? So we have to learn enoughness. When is enough enough? And how much of me do I believe is enough to leave this and actually follow what I'm supposed to do?
Yes. And if we don't, we become a detriment to ourselves and our people. Because I believe a lot of the times when I've come across women that look like me and they're giving me a hard time now in this space, I believe it's because they're not doing what they were called to do. So I don't want to say mad, I don't want to say hate, and I don't want to associate any negativity with their feelings. I just think maybe subconsciously, right? It's the audacity that's pissing you off, right? I don't know. And I'm saying that lightly because honestly, it hurts my feelings and it breaks my heart that we can't get it together. Because if we could get it together, when I tell you we don't need nobody for nothing, nothing. Nothing. So my daily prayer is for God to purge me of anything that would have someone that looks like me particularly and look at me and say, I can't talk to her, or I can't work with her, or she's unapproachable, or and sometimes, like we mentioned before, people just going through their own stuff, right? It
Right.
ain't got nothing to do with you, nothing at all to do with you. So grace is important. Communication is as well. What I have been finding is, although I despise conflict, And I don't want to go back and forth with nobody.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to,
Sometimes you need
unfortunately.
a little.
Iron sharp as iron. Well,
Yeah.
sometimes you got to say, hey, sis, what's up? You know, that was a little rude or that was a little disrespectful, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that's not what we can, what the topic is today, but it's been ve very relevant in this journey, like since being laid off till present day. It has been more people that do not look like me that have been of so much assistance. Like, and when I mean, what can I do? How can I do it? Where do I need to be? And thank God for sisters like you, Kisa, you know, women that do look like us and come from our walks of life that are, you know, like you said, for lifers.
Yeah.
But 80% of the support has not looked like us at
That's
all.
sad.
And it's sad. It's sad
Yeah.
because our community needs us. One of the
Yeah.
most important factors in creating these safe spaces is connection. That's not something you can't buy that. You can't, I can't pay you enough money. There's no amount of money I can pay you to connect to this mission. You gotta
Yeah.
feel this. This is something you
Yeah.
gotta know. You gotta know what it's like for the police to roll up and you tense up and you ain't never committed a crime in your life. You know what I
Right.
mean? You gotta
Yeah.
know. You just gotta know. And I'm honored that, you know, God is sending me the people, you know, no shade to them. But I would do anything to figure out how can we work together? How can women of color, black women, not be the barrier for one another? In the advocacy work, in the workplace, anywhere, just anywhere, we can
Yeah.
really make life a lot easier for one another if we could just take a deep breath and smile when we see each other. Just
Yeah.
smile. That's
Yeah.
it. Hey, girl. That's
Right.
it.
And not see each other as a threat. Right? You're enough in your enoughness, and I'm enough in my enoughness. What my mission is, and what your mission is, in some way, shape, or form, the puzzle pieces are going to fit. Because at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the greater good. It's about the servicing of the people, the kids, the families. It's about how do we get policies changed. It's about how do we get community leaders to see, hey, this is an actual need. What are you going to do about it? Right? Yeah, man, this is rich already.
When are we going to read between the lines?
That
Because
part,
that's
yeah.
the intention. The
Yeah.
intention is that we are divided. The intention is that we don't see eye to eye long enough to build something strong enough to
Yeah.
where we can hold the people in power to the fire and say,
Yeah.
you need to make stiffer gun laws in our communities. You need to XYZ, XYZ. And it's not help. We're not helping. We're being counterproductive with one another, and it's harmful. It's
It
harmful,
is.
which is one of the reasons why we are gun violence is near and dear to me, as you know, and I'm passionate about it. But I've taken gun violence from the mission and just violence, right? Because we keep setting the stage for violence. And then we're wondering why our kids are offering each other. You know, like they, for some reason, these guns, these weapons are so easily accessible in our communities. However, we're kind of turning a blind eye to the buildup, right? So of course the norm, all the liquor stores and the drugs, yeah, those things aid to it, but us beefing on social media, me and you going back and forth, and we're setting the stage. So
Right.
when your son and my son maybe see each other, now it's like, what you said to my mother online?
Right.
You looked at me this way. We set the stage. So
Yeah.
we've always had the mission to address the root of violence, which we believe to be poverty and trauma. However, we know that it's not just gun violence, right? We are the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we commune with one another. We're setting the stage for violence every single day. So we've removed gun violence from the wording, and we're still working on taking it from other parts because just violence in general, like we can prevent it. It's preventable.
So tell us how you got into, like, how did Still Here get born? What is your story? What is your journey? How did we get to Still Here being your baby?
In 2009, my son's dad was shot. He did not pass away. He became a vegetable for 10 years after that instance. In 2015, I said, enough tears, enough crying, no more pity parties. And I would even dare to say I felt like my prayers weren't working. I was praying, God, I need a miracle, right? For 5 years, I'm watching, my first love lay in a hospital bed and just cry. He just cried and I cried. And my son was afraid. He was pretty young. He was afraid to go to the hospital because his dad didn't look like his dad anymore. So just battling all of these things, when my son's dad was shot, I was pregnant at the time. He and I weren't together anymore. However, I was with child. And Zaria, who, your girl,
My
she,
girl,
yeah,
my little chocolate drop.
she, that was my road dog. Every hospital visit, every step I took, she was right there watching me. So with those eyes on me, my son's eyes on me, and then me seeing what the young people in the community were going through, I was like, what's the outlet? Who's their voice? Are we not seeing what's happening? It was kind of like, that do as I say, go to school, go to church. Go be a kid type of thing, but they're watching their friends be murdered. They're looking at their playgrounds turn into crime scenes. My son, for example, he's visiting his dad in a hospital at the end of his school week. So these are heavy, heavy things that nobody's talking to the kids about. So we started doing just small activities, dodgeball games, basketball games, things like that, other nonprofit organizations in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And I remember in 2015, I dried my eyes one day and I said, that's it, I'm not crying no more. I'm gonna do something about it. And we came together as a community. We did a cooking competition and a dodgeball game at the Boys Club of New York. And everyone came together. All the rival gangs and teams was in one place, having a good time, no mishaps happened. And in that moment, I knew I was doing what I was called to do just by how I felt. Just by how I felt. I was literally floating and just flabbergasted. I was like, wow, because all of the precincts and everyone was telling me, ah, we can't get all these people together. We're not supposed to, we can't mix this side with this side. And the Lower East Side is like 10 blocks. Like it reminds me of Trenton so much because it's so small, dense. It's a dense area. Like, how could I be beefing with the person across the street so heavily? S somebody gotta die because we gotta go to the store.
I need milk, right?
My grandma gotta go to the doctor. And I would say that was naive, right? Because that's the beef that these young people have is a real thing. And when they say on site, they mean on site. But I was so passionate and naive to how these young people were moving in the streets that I was like, I don't care. We're gonna do it. I got a leader from every section of the Lower East Side, and I said, hey, I need a team. Put together a team. And it worked out. Fast forward, I said, you know what? This is not my mission. This is not, there's got to be a simpler life, right? I moved to Jersey. I moved to Ewing, New Jersey. I got a job with Johnson and Johnson in Skillman, New Jersey. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, where's the life? There's no life here, right? Like, Gas stations are closed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. You know, everybody's doing so well. Everything's so great. And my life is so perfect. And I'm like, you know, what's going on, right? So I start working at Wells Fargo on East State Street. And baby, the life. I found the life. Right?
She's like, I don't know if I meant this life, but I found
Literally,
it.
that was the question. That was what I said to my mom. The first time I interviewed for the position, I was like, "Mom, I was like, I found life. I don't know if it's like the life I was looking for, but I found life. There's people of color here, and they're being loud, and they're walking in the street, and like, oh my goodness! Like, I was like, I don't even know what word could express how I felt in that moment. I later wind up getting the job. At on State Street, and I realized that there was a lot of disparities surrounding me, and one of them was financial literacy. Just simple banking, right? Having a checking account, having a savings account, you know, knowing what your rights are, you know, just I would come across people that just weren't used to being treated like human beings in a banking institution. And I really fell in love with my role as a teller for the people, right? And I was like, I can, you know, just again, advocacy work, right? I can help you understand. I can also speak banking language. So if I got to get on the phone for somebody with you and just being that bridge between my people and this institution was very fulfilling for me. And then COVID happened, and our young people were outside like it was the Wild Wild West. Literally, like the Wild Wild West. And the things that I kept hearing and seeing, it was like, no, where are the organizations? Like, what's going on, right? Where's the, I grew up during the crack era, right? When the mayors and the powers that be got tired, they hosed down the blocks. They got the squatters out of the abandoned buildings. They changed policy so that they could clean up the streets, and you couldn't live in the housing authority if you had. They made changes for gentrification to happen. No, I do not want to see that happen here as well. But what I would love for our people to understand is this is a part of the plan. This is a part of the plan. Keep us divided, keep us high, keep us drunk, keep us at a riff with each other so that they can have a reason to pull a trigger, so they can have a reason to clean your block, so they can have a reason to displace your grandmother. And then we have less of what we have, right? So that's one of the main reasons why financial literacy is always a part of all of our programs, because I realized back in 2018 how simple banking was such a challenge for a lot of our people, and we need to change that. So I'm happy to see that that's become more rampant, and it's going to stay a part of our curriculum as well as yoga, because the mental health piece, the sanity, like so many times in the last 10 years, well, I would say the first 5 years, I could remember that thin line between being sane and feeling like I was going crazy. It was very thin. So I'm grateful for a praying mother and a praying grandmother and a village that didn't give up on me when I didn't know my butthole from my elbow, you know? So we aspire to be that village, right? It doesn't, you don't have to come perfect. You don't have to have all your stuff together. No one has all their stuff together. And it's nice to be on this journey with people that are willing to figure it out with you.
I love that financial literacy part, and I've noticed like mental health is a huge part of what you've been incorporating in there. Because what people don't understand is everything is behavior. I'm getting in my bag. Everything is behavior, right? And what is unchecked turns into motion, right? So when we're talking about financial literacy,
Keeps the score.
Yes. When we're talking about financial literacy, we're also talking about the emotion behind money, the emotion behind impulse, the emotion behind being on that high, right? You think about people who gamble. There's a high that they're trying to reach, right? You think about people who are on drugs, crack cocaine, all of that. There, it's not the drug, it's the high that they get, right? So, and just personal story with that, it's like a part of my healing has also been my relationship with money, right? My relationship to the impulse or whatever that is, right? When you're not well, you either spend a lot and don't like there's correlations there with your
Yep.
mental health and your money.
Absolutely.
Right. So
Absolutely.
when you feel like you're grounded and in control of self, then you are able to navigate. 'Cause let's be honest, like navigating money, finances and resources, all of that are challenging for people, right? I don't care how
Absolutely.
much money you have, how much money you don't have, there's always something in there challenging, right? But there's such power in understanding your mental health and what it looks like in relationship to your behaviors with money, your relationship to money, your emotional ties to money, with or without it, right? So I always say to myself, I'm so glad that I know who I am without what I know what's coming. Because when it
So,
comes,
so important.
right? Because when it comes, I know exactly what needs to be done with it. The impulses that I may have had once upon a time aren't there. I'm not here to floss and show off and, live above a mean to show and prove, right? That's that mental health piece. That's that worth piece. That's that
Yep.
I'm like, I need to show that I'm enough. But do you feel it? Right? Do you feel it? So I think that's important, especially with young kids, to start learning that now. You don't need a gold chain to be popular.
Right. Right.
You
Right.
don't need that.
And if you want to look at people with wealth, you want to take a look at people with wealth, you're not going to see those gold chains and flashy this and flashy that. But the mental health component and the financial literacy component, they do correlate. And I feel like mental health and every aspect of our life, not just financial literacy, like our home life, how we make decisions, right? That social emotional learning piece tied to mental health. Just every aspect of life that I can think of goes back to healthy mental health, right? And one of the things my sisters and I have been advocating for is like
Pop's
ending that
daughters.
pop store, my girls, ending the stigma, right? Like this thing where it's like, oh, you're mental, or having this idea that mental health is a bad thing. Like we all have mental health, right? Now, is your mental health well, thriving, strong, solid? Are you struggling a bit with your mental health? And that could change from day to day, right? I don't claim anxiety, depression, or any of those things over my life, but I've had to pray them up off of me for a reason. Let me just say that, okay?
There's a
It's not because
difference.
they weren't there,
Right.
and they don't come knocking and visiting, and that's another reason why doing what you're supposed to be doing is so important, right? Answering that calling, knowing when you're birthing something spiritually, because if you're not in the right environments, around the right people, doing the right things, your mind start to play a trick on you, right? You might start to believe you're not worthy. Or you don't have what it takes, So I'm gonna just go over here and I'm gonna get this job because I don't know if I have what it takes to be self-employed, to take care of myself and my children. So I'm gonna get this safety net in place. And I've ran back to that maybe like four or five times to the point where
God
it's like,
said no.
girl,
God said, I'm done with you. It's my turn.
what I've done in 6 months
Yeah.
I haven't been able to do in 2 years.
So I literally just said this yesterday to a friend. Momentum. The momentum is important. And sometimes these safety nets dangle in front of us that look good. They're illusions, right? Because the money. Let's be honest, the money, right? We need the money, right? We need the money. And being an entrepreneur, being in like deep into the advocacy work, because let's talk about what a real advocate is. Your Dr. Martin Luther King's, your Rosa Parks, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman's. We're talking about people who were not getting paid to do something that is shifting the collective, and we're still sitting and living in it today, right? So we're talking about true soldiers and servants of the mission, right? So when you're feeling the momentum and there's an opportunity, this has come back to that, if you're not doing the healing work and finding that peace and able to sit with yourself and hear internally, you're going to think that opportunity is a part of the work, when that opportunity is an illusion, when that opportunity is sent to, oh yeah, it's going to solve all your problems, but it's also going to stop you and delay what you're actually supposed to be doing
And add some new ones.
and add some new ones. So when you feel that momentum, that's also your spirit saying, we got you. You on the right path. Like it's literally faith without works. Like the work is the faith. The keep going is the faith. The wake up and I'm getting back to this grant. I'm changing. I mean, I think it's powerful that you even said, well, we're taking gun violence out and just focus and like focusing on the violence, because that's the result of what we see. So to change the result of what we see, we need to get to the root of it, which is, how are you taking care of yourself? And releasing the stigma, girl, the stick it like there's adults now that still use the stigma against adults, like, oh, you're mental, you go to therapy, so something's wrong with you. I go to therapy because you're what's wrong with me. Let's start there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go to therapy because I'm undoing what a lot of people in my bloodline have chose to ignore. I go to therapy because I want to continue to be better. I want to continue to change this system so that we can change this system.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I was seen online recently, and I hate to quote something without having the source, but it was along the lines of I manage my trauma well. I know how to manage my trauma. I go to therapy so I can figure out how to manage my joy because I'm not used to having the joy. I'm not used to that everlasting peace. So I go to therapy for that because I think we've, as a culture, have figured out how to live through the muck, right? But how do we live without it? How do we live without the muck? How do we get outside of, how do I walk outside of this situation with my joy? How do I go from being a teen mom to being a single mom to moving to a new state to battling these different things and still have my joy? How do I do that? And saying yes is a part of that. because sitting on what I was called to do was literally like holding in a baby ready to be birthed.
And that
Hurts. It hurts. It's like you
when that
can't breathe
when the,
sometimes.
yeah when that baby is knocking on that womb, like, sis, I'm coming. I don't care if you're ready or not.
And I think that's intentional as well. God has a really good sense of humor because had he had exposed me in 2015 to what I was gonna experience over these last few years, I still would have been sitting on it, hurt and all. Hurt me because it's heavy.
It's heavy.
Heavy. And I oftentimes say life had there has to be a simpler life somewhere. And I know it's not for me. That simple life is not for me, but there's definitely been times when I'm like, no, this can't be. Am I the only one seeing this? And I'm not. I'm not. I get amazing people like yourself who come into the village and make a home for themselves, right? Make it where I can't think about starting new programming without yoga, and I can't think about yoga without thinking about Ashley. So it's like it's an amazing experience. It's an amazing experience. And in terms of advocacy, there is no payment. Like if they could have paid Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, they still would have been short handing them. It would have been a short change. Like you can't pay anyone adequately for this work. You just can't. You can't. That's why when people try to make it seem like it's a money grab thing, and don't get me wrong, people are definitely out here poverty pimping the hell out of our communities. However, there's people that's dedicated their life to this long before they even knew this was a occupation. Just advocating for a better way, right? There has to be a better way than the parking lot and the playground being closed off and we can't walk to school because it's a crime scene. It has to be a better way than my neighbor watching her brother-in-law and her husband kill each other damn near in the mid. There has to be a better way. It has to be. So I believe it starts with advocacy, just speaking on it, right? And just saying, like, something's not right here. What can I do about it? And then taking that first step, that blind faith. Like, I don't really know. I don't know how to combat gun violence, but I can definitely, I know how to combat poverty. I've had a taste of my own poverty. I know what it's like to have the peanut butter and my neighbor had the jelly. And we put together our quarters for that loaf of bread. We could figure out how to make something do what it do, right? So we could figure out the poverty part. The trauma part is the hard part, right? Because that's an individual journey, right? That we have to delicately handle. And for some people, that's yoga. For some people, it's cooking. It's like different resources. And what we're currently doing is building up our capacity to be able to expose anyone that comes to the village to whatever it is we have. This is what we have to give. Get what you need so we can see you win. Because we don't want to bury you. We're tired of burying people. We're tired of the hymns. I'm out of t-shirts. I don't want to release no more balloons. Let's do something. Let's really, really do something that can change the outcome for someone.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Man, this work is not, because it's not easy, I always believe that certain life moments that we have, like actual lived experiences that we have, like you talk about, like having that taste of poverty, being a single mom, having a significant other pass away from gun violence, even just him being in vegetation for 10 years. 10 years. You talk about the emotional toll that that takes on you and your kid. She's like, girl. and then being pregnant, and then, and even that, you think about, because of, being pregnant, we share everything with our child, emotion, all of that. So to see Zaria, she's so full of life. That girl is so full of life, which tells me that you were very, very intentional during your pregnancy about dealing with your emotions and dealing with how you handle what was happening in real time, right? I always believe that even if, let's say you meet, even if somebody didn't go through exactly what you went through, right? The common denominator is pain, right? The common denominator is like the hard experience of whatever that trial for you came to. When you're working with these kids, what is it like for them to begin to open up about their stories and about what they're going through, and like breaking the egg, breaking that shell open? What does that experience look like for them? And then what does that turn for you? Like, when you have to go inward for that, what does that do for you?
So, great question. Loaded question, but great question. I believe our young people, particularly in areas, in underserved areas, there's a big trust disconnect with trust there, right? They see a lot of me's come through. A lot of facilitators, a lot of people that want to help, say they're going to help. So there's this trust factor that takes a while to build up. It takes a while. Journaling helps a lot. Journaling helps a lot because what someone won't say, typically they'll write it. So I like to journal at least every other session. Surveys help me understand what they really want to say, what they won't raise their hand to say. But that firsthand experience does it for us every time. That connecting, being able to understand where they potentially are coming from without them having to say it. Because a lot of times in our community, our children are trying to protect their homes. They don't want to say somebody's touching me. They don't want to say they're seeing drug use or they're seeing guns. They're not going to say those things because they know what comes with that. But that common denominator pain, you can see that in someone's eyes. So even if you don't tell me exactly what's going on, I can see that there's some kind of a need there. And I open up and I'm being vulnerable about the places that I've come from. And that took a lot of work just to be able to talk about it. And more so because I didn't want to offend my people, right? Me talking about my story tells my son's story, tells my daughter's story, my mama's story. So it took me a while to be vulnerable in these spaces, but it's a mandatory piece of connecting and really connecting. And a young person saying to me, like, I really only eat at school. Like, I only come here on Saturdays because I know you're gonna be here and you funny. And reading between those lines, right? Like, I'm not that funny. I'm all right, but I'm not that funny. There's something in this space that you need. And I do those surveys so that I can under pick, get a better understanding of what it is that you need, what it is that you don't need. And then I go advocate for them because right now, still here is not financially able to say, okay, you need food? I'm gonna go shopping for you and I'm gonna do all of these things. Like we have to pool our resources together in order to show up for our young people sometimes. And sometimes that's going to the administration in these schools and having those tough conversations with the principals or the guidance counselors and being willing to say, well, I'll call mom. I'll meet with mom, I'll talk to mom. So still learning, still growing the trust on both sides, which is why we're fighting so hard now to have a safe space outside of the schools, because there's a barrier, unfortunately, that the school presents with us not really being able to connect and really get the full story sometimes, or just their policies, right? There's certain things we can't do, and we have to respect their policies. Also, a lot of our audience is not in school. Those at-risk young people, they're not in
They're not
school,
there.
fortunately. So it's so important, and I'm super grateful to the community partners that allow us to utilize their space so that we can grow and are able to meet the needs outside of the classrooms and the school systems.
Have you connected with CSOC, like the family support organization and mobile response and all of them?
Mobile, the county, yes, but not CSOC. I've never even heard of CSOC, actually.
It's the New Jersey Children's System of Care.
Yes, I've just never heard it, because
Called
CSOC. Okay.
CSOC. Yeah.
Yes, I
And
have.
I don't know why I just started calling it CSOC all of a sudden. I've always That's on me. I always call it New Jersey Children's System of Care, but for some reason today it's
Yes.
CSOC. My behind.
I'm over here like, let me make sure I got that so I can look that up.
My bad. Like, I don't know what the last 24 hours has been very interesting. Okay, but yeah. So, and it's I mean, and thank you for even that last part, right? It's you got to go where the people are. Right? And your people are school age children. You scale that down even more, they're not in school. Right? So I think that's another part of advocacy that people miss is you have to know who your people are, right? 'Cause again, if you try to serve everybody, you serve nobody. So who exactly is a part of your mission? 'Cause that's where you find the most fruit. That's where you find the actual results, right? That's where you get clarity on what exactly do my people need, right? So it's now you're no longer throwing tacks at the wall to see what stick. It's like,
Exactly.
ah, there's food insecurity. Got it. All right. Now we do research in this
Exactly.
area. Yeah.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. And God's time is like the best time,
It
because
is.
again, had my audience been exposed to me 5, 10 years ago, I'd have been like, you definitely crazy. I don't bid no more. I don't do packages. I like the soft life. I don't know what you got in mind, Lord, but he showed me that you can still have the soft life. Your personal, what you got going on personally does not have to be so severely impacted by the work that you're doing. So we needed that time. If he would have hit me with $1 million in 2022, I wouldn't have known what to do with it. So his timing is so important, in the midst of all of this. So timing, advocacy, knowledge, having the mind to, like you said, okay, it's food insecurities. Let me go research and see how we can meet that need, as opposed to not even hearing the need or seeing the need, because we're so in our
Focus on
heads
us, yeah.
dealing with what we got going on. We can't even hear what they're saying to us.
I love that. I love that. And the development of you, the advocate, right? 'Cause that comes in layers. There's those moments where it's like, hey, I'm about to show you what's inside of you, what you're meant to do, what this looks like, right? And it's like It's like, hi, here's the book, right? But then it's like over time, you need the development for that. Because again, you look at, I mean, Cory Booker just spent 16 hours. Was it at the White House? I want to watch it, but he just spent 16 hours talking about all the stuff that Mr. Orange is doing that is hurting our people. This, like, there's a stamina that comes with this work, right? So when we're talking about healing and advocacy and soul work, right? We're like, when we're talking about doing your soul work for your soul's work, we're talking about, do you have the stamina to withstand having to do what Cory Booker just did? I believe it was 16 hours to stand up there and advocate for your whole entire. I mean, he's advocating for just the state of New Jersey, but we know it's not just for the state of New Jersey. He's advocating for the nation, right? Like, I have to build you. I have to build you for the stamina of the work that you are about to do. I have to broaden your shoulders and your back to withstand what is about to be put on your shoulders. It's bigger than a strength test. It's
Way bigger.
the stamina,
Way bigger.
the
Way bigger.
emotional stamina,
The mental capacity.
mental capacity. Mental capacity, because to like, as much as you have a village, right, and those people that support you still the CEO of this thing. You are the finance person. You are the social media person. You are the community person.
The person,
You are the
yes.
videographer. You are.
If you're watching this and I owe you a video, I promise it is coming. I am so grateful for everything that you've done. I know we're in a time where if it didn't happen on social media, it didn't happen. It happened. You were there. You are making a difference. I'm gonna post the videos. Thank you for
You
that
see what I'm
moment.
saying? Right. But it's like, I mean, even when I think about sometimes doing this podcast, like there's moments where I'm like, oh, I think, maybe I need to stop. But then it's like it evolves again. It's like, no, I'm a communicator. That's part of my advocacy work is communicating and getting people like you on to talk about advocacy, to talk about their soul work, to talk about the healing, to talk about lived experiences, right? And I just said it last week too. I have fully accepted and come to terms with the fact that my life is going to be open to the public. Not all of it, right? But the parts of it.
That's such a struggle for me. How are you dealing with that?
You know what? So I gotta tell you something when we get off. They already know, but I'm trying to move forward. So you know what it is? It reminds me of how strong my values are. That I'm always gonna lead. If off camera, I lead with love, I lead with integrity, and I stand in truth. And the richest of who I am, it's gonna be no different on this mic, on this video, when I'm in public spaces telling my story, right? Because telling my story now is no longer about me needing to heal. It's now who does this need to, who needs help, who needs to hear this so that they can see that traumatic event that happened, or that traumatic relationship, or that traumatic thing isn't their end. Right? So I got to a point where it's like, okay, this isn't a, my story isn't about me anymore, right? Like I can no longer, if I vowed to no longer be in a victim space, I have to release the victimhood and remember that I am a portal. My story is coming through me, because somebody else needs to hear it so that they can be set free. So in any, I mean, in my book, in any co-author books that I'm doing, I mean, and I'm just getting started, Brandy.
See you.
I'm just getting
I see you.
started. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm like even now, I've had my podcast since 2022, summer 2022. I kept talking about it, and I remember one day it was like, I gotta just do it. I'm now just finding, oh, I'm finding my flow and how I want this to be, how like what I want to talk about, what who like who this is for and all like I'm just getting started. But I needed to release my story so that I had so that I could one, take back power of my narrative, and two, show other people you can do the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I feel like I kind of like I got the same lessons that you've received in reverse. So I started off kind of like on that advocacy tip, like if I could do it, you trust me, you could do it. Right. And no shade to me, but just saying, like, it was dark. It was like, it was dark, you know, no seeing. I couldn't see. I could just feel my way through sometimes. So if I can do it, you can definitely do it. And then now realizing how important my story is to tell, because I was on a my privacy is my protection. And the less you know about me, the less you can hurt me. However, I had to evolve in my relationship with Jesus Christ and God and say like the God in you and the God surrounding you is not gonna let nothing happen to you. And you don't have to live in fear that something is gonna happen. But that was my trauma because all around me, stuff just kept happening. You know, there's this life, there is no life where stuff is not happening. And things are still happening, but it's this peace, it's this protection that constantly just kind of morphs around me. And like you said, I'm able to be a portal. I'm able to be used. I'm able to know now where I have to stop in certain relationships or go in other relationships because to protect the portal, because it's not about me. One of the hardest lessons in these 10 years is realizing that this experience had nothing to do with me. Could you imagine? Could you imagine 10 years of this vegetated space, right? You know, in the most instances, people they get shot, they go home, they heal, or they pass away. So to live with my friend being in this vegetative state for 10 years and all that came with that, and then to come on the other side and it don't got nothing to do with me.
That's powerful.
In that same breath, it has everything to do with my future and the work that I'm doing. So just like accepting that duality, accepting the fact that I have to tell my story. Like if it was up to me, I wouldn't have no social media. I would like it would be real surface level, real surface level. And I'm still coming out of my shell in a way, but I had to that acceptance piece. I had to accept my story. I had to accept myself. Like this is your story. It happened. These things happen. It's not about a pity party. I didn't want people to like pity me. It's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that happened to you, right? But it happened for me. Like I'm living my dreams right now. And there's so many people that you said, like you said, you're gonna go into a casket with your with that spiritual baby. You never birthed what you were called for.
And think about the number of people that didn't get what they needed because you chose fear over faith. You chose listening to what the status quo needed you to do, how you needed to be, how you need to present. You need, you know, it's not perfect. And people are not getting what they need.
My website right now is still .com. Every other organization that's a nonprofit is .org. It still doesn't look perfect. It's been 10 years. But the lives that I get to impact, the young people that I have conversations with, and when I see them light up, and when I see them talking out conflict, like that'd be all the payment I need. It's okay. It may never look perfect, and I had to accept that aspect of it. If you're waiting for it to be perfect, if you're waiting for the grants to come knock on your door, if you're waiting, it's never going to happen, and it's going to just feel like you're literally in labor.
Forever.
Forever.
Forever. Forever. God is not looking for perfection, right? It's literally, it's very cliche, but it's literally faith of a mustard seed. All you need is a drop of, I believe in this. I believe in myself. This is gonna happen. It's coming to pass, and it's gonna happen, right? Even
And
if
surrendering
you're
to that.
and
That was
surrendering to
your, that was,
that.
I think a couple episodes back, you did surrendering to that.
You gotta surrender. You gotta surrender. You gotta surrender because it's like, okay, yeah, God, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then he's like, okay, well, release it to me. It's like, but I need to make sure that it looks like this and that it happens this way and this, that, and the third. And it's like, no. 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 Like you surrender. Surrender brings one so much peace and so much clarity. Just even what you just said of realizing that that 10-year vegetative state wasn't even about you. And you were able to see where about you it was so that you can pull it forward. There's so much power in surrendering, so much power in surrendering. That is the place where God, source, whoever y'all subscribe to, that is the place where, like, we're all waiting for that divine meeting. It's right there. That divine meeting is right there. The minute you unclench your body, release your palms, relax your body. Notice the tension, release it. Notice your shoulders, bring them down. Unclench your jaw, unscrunch your face, release your tongue from the top of your mouth. Release your belly, release the pelvis, unclench the thighs, unclench the toes. You know what I'm saying?
Surrender for real.
Surrender for real.
And it doesn't happen. For me, it didn't happen the first time I said I surrender. So I said I surrendered when I accepted the mission. I said I surrender in 2022. I'm gonna give you one bet. When we met, I surrender. Fine. Okay, Lord. I'm a take I'm a do still here in Jersey, right? Because I was only doing it in New York. Fine. I'm coming to New Jersey. I'm gonna do it. I surrender. And that next June, Carlos graduated. And my desire for him was for him to go to school away. Go away, find, do something different. Da, 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 da. I'm gonna pay. He got a couple of scholarships, but I still wound up having to pay $1,700 out of pocket. So what I go get a job. I'm doing still here, but I'm going to get a job, right? Did I actually surrender? Could I have figured out another way for him to go to school? I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I could have actually. He didn't even want to go away to school. I wasn't listening to him. I wasn't hearing him, right? I was just like, boy, you going to school. And he was like, I want to stay local. I'm like, you going to school. We getting in this car and I'm driving you away and take all my money with you. And I thought I surrendered then, and I didn't. And I had the experiences that I've experienced as I've walked into this nonprofit world, have been trying, have been hurtful. When I say blood, sweat, and tears, I mean blood, sweat, and tears. And I needed to surrender again. I needed to surrender again to not just what I thought it was going to be, because I'm like, everybody want to stop violence, gun violence, right? Why wouldn't you want to help stop violence? We're not tired of burying our kids. And not that people don't want to. People are just people in, right? So I had to find a way to stand 10 toes down on my mission no matter what, right? And surrender again. Okay, God, I'm not just surrendering to the idea that I have of what this mission work is going to look like. Now I'm surrendering to what I know this is. And that was a different type of surrender. And I still was kind of like, and he was like, let me help you. Let me push you off the cliff real quick so you can catch your parachute and go about your business, because you over here seem to kill yourself for these people, and they could give a damn about you.
They'll replace you quick. And guess what? You still gonna be pregnant.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know a lot of women like to be pregnant. I ain't one of them people. Get this baby
No.
up out of me. Don't give me no more. Let me raise the ones I have, okay? Yes. Let me nurture. Let me help other people raise theirs. Like I don't want to be pregnant no more.
Because
Nope,
there's
the baby is
something,
out there.
yeah, because it's one thing to go fulfill somebody else's mission on their time clock, on their pay schedule. You got to be there 9 to 5. It's another thing where it's like, oh, a part of the work I do is helping other people fulfill their mission, right? So it's like, oh, I see your mission. Where do you need me? This is what I do. Where do you need me? The work getting done. I'm still focused on my vision and I'm helping you with yours. But I'm not tied to no 9 to 5. I'm not tied to, you know what I'm saying? Like the attention is different. Just like we were saying about the momentum being different. Man, this is
Important
rich.
though, it's important even in that, even in saying like I see your mission, I want to contribute to your mission in this way. It's so mental health, it's so important to be self-aware and to know what's going on and does this align, right? Is it because, like you said, we're the helpers. We whatever you need, I'm there for it. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself burning out for someone else's mission, and then you don't have time for your mission. You're not nurturing your baby the way you're supposed to be nurturing your baby. And you get caught between that Mother Teresa and am I actually doing the work that I'm supposed to be doing? Is anyone healing? Is anyone being helped? Is anyone being impacted by this? Or am I just out here?
Woo. Oh, man.
It's
This
heavy.
was this yeah, it I mean, I'm grateful that we 'cause I had a plan but not really with our conversation. Like I like to when I do interviews, I like to just let it be organic. But I think everything we've talked about, people need to understand the true ins and outs of when we say doing the soul work, what we were actually called to do. It's heavy, especially in advocacy. We're in such a time right now where advocacy work is so needed on so many different. I think it might be even upped a level from. I mean it. I mean we're moving into a phase two of like the civil rights movement. Let's be real. We're moving into phase two of what that is. So it's like I'm grateful to be called to do this work and. How do I get my people who are also called to do this work to stay grounded?
Yeah, that's so
Stay.
important.
to stay
That's
focused
so important.
on, yeah, to stay focused on their vision, right? Because I know
So
it's
important.
easy for us to be like, okay, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? And like you said, if it can't align, we need you to stay here. Stay here. I have like complete chills running through my body right now. That's the confirmation. Like I feel that call so heavy in addition to like, and my shoulders are broad. I'm here for it, right? That's the work. How do I get my healers, my helpers, and my visionaries to stay grounded and anchored into their work, into their advocacy, into what they already know, and expand up from there? But stay in your lane of this. Stay in your lane of this. Stay in your lane of this, right? We don't need you to veer off because all of these walls are crashing down. All of them.
I believe wholeheartedly, if there has never been a time for us to rise up, this is now. And it has to look different than it's ever looked before. So
Absolutely.
you're essential in this mission in terms of us staying grounded, right? The healers, the workers, the advocators, like the people that could never be compensated for what it is that they're doing, right? We need to stay grounded. And you always hear me say, village, 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 village. If we don't rise up and come together now, I don't know that they will be a later for us.
There is
And if
no
I could
later.
advocate for anything in this time, it really is for us to come figure out a way to come together, work together, be community. Community is so important right now. It is
So
so important
important.
right now because this is a time where we're asking generations to get up off the ASS that never had to get up off the ASS. So we literally are about to be and are already fighting our people to fight for our people, right? We're fighting each other to say, hey, we got to fight together so that we can actually still be here and whole, right? Have our minds, have our homes, continue to build. Like this whole thing, if you ask me, is a hoax about generational wealth remaining the same way it's been. Yeah, I making too much money. Yeah, I doing too much. I making too much moves. I'm running into y'all in the banks and y'all in the same restaurants as us. We getting too close, right? So the division is intentional. The confusion is intentional. The drugs, alcohol, the guns, all that's intentional.
It's all intentional.
We
All
gotta turn off
intentional.
the TV, as they would say, and lock in with one another and really figure out how can we be our best selves and support our brothers and sisters.
And remember, it's always been intentional. They just can't hide it anymore. Their hands have been caught. It's always been intentional. They just can't hide it anymore. I'm starting on April 8th, every Tuesday. I was gonna do it just in the month of April, but having this conversation, I might just keep it going. Every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m., I'm holding, it's free, a virtual Zoom breathwork and meditation and journaling space and mini discussion for healers, helpers, and visionaries. It's free.
Amazing.
So
Amazing.
I'll send that information to you so you can disperse that. And I'll also put it in the show notes because, and when it came to me, I was like, I ain't nobody gonna show up. But I was like, but this is needed.
Listen, at first, no one shows up, right? At first, it's just a handful of people. But I've learned you don't need a whole lot of people
The committed
to get
people.
it done. You know, you don't necessarily need that. And that, it's funny you mentioned that because I too have been thinking about ways and with Pop's daughter's doing something similar as well, in terms of like networking with like-minded people, the healers, the educators, and things of that sort. And we need that. We can't have enough of that. We have to stay grounded. We have to stay focused. We have to stay mindful, and we have to stay sane long enough to get through to the other side. So count me in for sure.
Got you.
Hold me accountable for sure. Like, we have to start doing so, like holding each other accountable in the right way, right?
Right.
Not necessarily about, well, I'm not used to this person that you become, right? Not Don't hold me accountable in that way. Allow me to grow. Allow me to grow. But hold me accountable to the things that you know as my friend, as my sister, that you know that I'm gonna need. You know, that's super important. And we get off the beaten path sometime, but like you said, everybody has a mission. Your mission is to ground us. So I'm be looking for you to keep me grounded. It's like we go to Tuesday.
It's just like it's 8 o'clock. It's every Tuesday starting April 8th at 8 a.m. We hop in on the Zoom link. We're gonna get into that breath work and get grounded, do some journaling and whatever needs to be. If anybody needs to share something, any question, whatever, like I just been feeling this. And someone, when I went to Cambodia, somebody, this very spiritual place, she said it to me. She's like, you're meant to hold space for other healers. There's work for you to do around holding space for other healers, like healing the healers type of thing, being a warrior for other warriors type thing. So it's time to get into it.
Yes,
It's time to
yes.
get
It's
into it.
past time to get into it. And it's difficult. It's difficult to stay committed to the things that are best for us while we are fighting for what's best for everyone. So kudos to you. Let me know what it is that you need. Send them to me. If you don't see me, if I don't Like, if you post it and I'm not responding, 9 times out of 10, I didn't see it, because when I see your stuff, I always share it. But we need that. We need community now more than ever, more than
More
ever.
than ever.
And you have to come check out my church. I recently rejoined the first church I've ever attended here in the area, St. Paul AME. Dr. Nicole is now our pastor there, and I think you would really, really enjoy the experience. I think you would. For me, it feels I don't personally know her, but I feel like she gets it. You know, like we I know you attend Change as well, and I love Pastor Darius, but I'd be looking for a more intimate community, church community. So if ever, it's 10 a.m. it's on Lower Ferry Road in Ewing. So if you're ever not there or you decide to do something different, come check us out.
Send me the deets. Send me
Yes.
all the
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Brandy, thank you for staying committed to this work, 'cause girl, I know it's not easy. But
No,
thank
it's
you
not.
for your transformation, your growth, your dedication to advocacy, to this work, to your purpose, to birthing that baby. 'Cause it's easier to bypass what the soul is calling you to do when society is telling you to live a certain way. And if you've never seen it done before, it's even harder, and the misunderstanding is greater. So thank you for being a part of what is probably
Course.
going to be my next venture years from now, the Pink Sheep Collective. Thank you for being a pink sheep, right? Thank you for stepping
You're
out on that ledge and trusting your wings and
welcome.
flying so beautifully, and holding
Oh,
space
thank you,
for these
sis.
young people.
Thank you,
Because they
sis.
need it. They need it. We all deserve safe spaces. So,
Absolutely. And I thank you for being a safe space and for being a part of the village and adding the value that you bring. I'm always, I guess I'm always checking for Miss Ashley Elaine. Yes, like, are we in a space where we can do yoga? We can. Good. You know, like, always can we start each one 30 minutes, even a little bit, just even a little bit. I find that When we do those one-offs, like when we did it at Foundation Academy, some kids took to it, some kids didn't, and it's a new thing for a lot of them. So to me, it's like more consistency is what they need, and to incorporate it and make it a part of the program so that they could really get the benefits of it. So we're going in a slightly different direction this time. I'm glad you'll be joining us again.
Yeah, I'm
And I look
excited.
forward to it. I look forward to it. I know you say you have something on Monday, not on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I have class Wednesday nights, but any other
Wednesdays.
day works. Yeah.
The other
Yeah.
day. So it'll probably be, well, and we'll talk offline about it. Probably be
Yeah.
Monday since Wednesday doesn't really work for you. But if you know someone else that it could potentially work for, and they're, they get it.
I do. I'll and when you said that before, we'll talk about that afterwards too. But yeah, thank you, Brandy, so
You're
much.
welcome.
Still here's information will be in the show notes if you want to check them out if you're in New Jersey in the Mercer County area, or if you are anywhere else in the world and you just want to see just what advocacy looks like, and what actually birthing this baby looks like. Check her out. Check still out, still here out, and we will be right back.
Yes, thank you so much.